Now, here's where the big issue started to come up and unveil itself. Who is using a full black foundation? That was just such a, I think, slap in the face of the community. That's where I think they went really wrong on this. Was this done maliciously? Because I don't understand how in the lab you can make this pigment and think, yes, this will work on real human skin. It's time to get loud. Welcome back to Loud Talk with Lavi, a podcast where we break down the walls of beauty standards one flaw at a time. Thank you so much for joining me in today's podcast episode. I am so excited to just sit down and chat all things beauty today because I have been traveling. I just got back from Mexico, actually, and I'm getting all this content out. I'm so behind on like my travel content on my main pages, but I'm getting it out for you guys slowly but surely. And a lot has happened in the beauty community recently, and I really wanted to sit down and share my thoughts, kind of debrief with you guys and have a little, you know, beauty care, beauty community therapy, let's call it, because I think a lot has happened. There's been so much shifts in the past couple years in terms of inclusivity and the beauty community being more unfiltered and beauty standards, you know, kind of dissipating a bit more. And that's really a lot of what this podcast stands for. I really wanted to create this space where we can come and feel safe and build our confidence up and talk about breaking down those walls of beauty standards, especially when it comes to the beauty community. So today I'm going to be covering a few topics. We're going to be talking about the Euphoria Foundation, which has taken the internet by toll. I want to kind of give my opinions as a brand owner and also as a creator to that situation. I also want to be talking about, I'm also going to be talking about Alex Earle a little bit and Hero Cosmetics and just the representation in the acne positivity space and just some other things that have come up in the beauty community recently that I do want to kind of share my thoughts on. Of course, if you enjoy this long form content for me, I'm assuming you came from my other platforms, but if you didn't, I do post every single day on TikTok and Instagram. I post once a week on YouTube, and this podcast as well goes out on all platforms, all streaming platforms, as well as the video version on YouTube. So if you're not watching on YouTube, watch it, because I'm going to have a lot of reference videos in this podcast episode. I'm going to show a lot of photos and all of that, so it might be easier for us to have this conversation with the visuals, with the receipts. So make sure to go check out the YouTube video at Loud Talk Lobby YouTube channel. But let's jump right on into this. All right, so the big conversation that has been happening on TikTok and social media, a lot in the beauty community recently, has been with the new Euphoria Foundation and all the controversy it has caused. And I mean, with good reason. So to give a little bit of background, Euphoria came out with this foundation. I think it was called like the All Day. I think it was like the All Day Foundation or something like that. The Date Night Skin Tint Serum Foundation. So I actually reviewed this foundation when it came out because it was marketed to be a foundation that you could actually sleep in. That's why it was called the Date Night Foundation, because it was supposed to have a lot more skincare benefits than it was like makeup. And a lot of people asked for me to review this because they wanted to see how it applies on my textured skin. So I was like, yeah, of course, let's review it. I got it sent to me in PR, but of course, it wasn't a sponsored video. I reviewed the foundation, and as I was trying it, I took a look at their website and I was like, yeah, this shade range is really limited. I did mention that in my video, and people were commenting that on my TikTok as well, being like, looks good, but the shade range really sucks. And I was like, yeah, you are totally right in this. The shade range was really very, very light, and then just a few like deeper shades. But what was interesting, and I think the frustration that comes from people in this situation, is all the light shades had the different undertones to them. You know, they had neutral shades, they had more pink shades, more yellow shades for those light skin tones. But then we didn't even, not only did we not see those different ranges in the deep skin tones, but we did not see a deep range in this foundation at all. I think it went to like a medium shade range, if I'm remembering this correctly. So I think originally they had 5 darker shades, which you can't even call them like darker shades, because they were, I would say, more of like a medium tan. They weren't deep by any means. And then they expanded back in March to include 7 more medium deep to deep shades, because, you know, they obviously received the feedback that their range was not wide enough, that the range was not giving us what we need. Like when you launch a foundation, you should be launching it with everyone in mind. I think that's where a lot of the frustration stands from the whole beauty community as a whole. I think, yes, they did have my shade in their range, but there's no reason why my friend can't get the same foundation and have that same experience as I do just because I'm a different skin tone. And obviously that's the biggest thing in this conversation, but it obviously does feel like a very much second thought when a brand does come out with a shade expansion. I think when a brand does a shade expansion, what should happen is more undertones should be included, maybe gaps within the range, like if we have a big jump or we don't have a more yellow or pink or neutral shade, that's where shade additions and shade expansions can be really great from feedback. But when you see a shade expansion occur and it's literally adding a whole new side to a shade spectrum, that just shows that the brand did not even think about that whole side of that shade spectrum to begin with. And that's where it really raises a lot of alarms, being like, okay, obviously this was not thought out at all when the foundation was even being made. Now, here's where the big issue started to come up and unveil itself is when Euphoria kind of came back and they're like, you know what? We're gonna create the darkest possible shade. And we're gonna make everyone happy. And I really don't know the intent behind or like what went on in this process, but if they were trying to hit the market and be like, we are the brand that has created the most, like the deepest foundation shade out there, I don't know if that's what they were trying to do, but they definitely missed the mark because if you're not updated on everything, basically they came out with their shade 600, which with no exaggeration is literally fully black pigment. And not only does it look this way, but if you look at the actual ingredients, you can see. So in foundations, you'll see color pigments. They're usually just different iron oxides, and you'll usually see a mix of like blue, red, yellow, and white, because that's how you make color. That's how you mix pigments. You mix your primary colors and then white to adjust the tone. In their deepest shade, shade 600, you'll see in the ingredient list that it says CI77499, which is the color code for black iron oxide. That's literally what it is. So it's pure black pigment that is in this foundation. And a lot of people online came kind of to Euphoria's defense here because they were like, well, maybe they launched this to be a mixing shade. I'm sorry, but there is no world that exists where this could be a mixing shade because you cannot mix black with a tan light brown foundation because it will just turn it gray and muddy. Think back to like your paint classes in elementary and stuff. As soon as you mix black with stuff, artists know this, makeup artists know this, but even just you thinking back to like your art classes in kindergarten, like when you mix black into stuff, it takes over, it dominates, and it creates it into this gray, muddy mess. So that could not be used to darken a foundation. You would need a really deep brown to be able to darken a foundation. And even there, these tones and undertones need to be considered. You can't just, well, one, who is using a full black foundation? You would use that, you would use like a full black eyeliner or something like that. But that was just such a, I think, slap in the face of the community because it's like people were asking to be included and they were wanting a deeper shade. And it almost feels like Euphoria was like, here you go. Here's your deepest shade. We can't go deeper than that. This is pure black pigment. And that is what is really disgusting to see because it's like, was this done maliciously? Because I don't understand how in the lab you can make this pigment and think, yes, this will work on real human skin. Now, a lot of people are also confused because they were really trying to come out here and be like, this shade is so deep. It was really hard for us to even find models. And the models they did use, they're like, we found these random guys in the mall. And then they were applying the foundation on them. And one, you couldn't barely even see the foundation being applied on them. The smallest amount was being used. And two, that shade 600 did not match these guys. Like, in no way, shape, or form did it match them. So it was really weird. I feel like it was maybe, I obviously don't know. I have used Euphoria products before. I've reviewed their products. I've accepted PR from them. But at this point in time, I'm very confused by their intentions and I don't understand where this came from and if it was like a rush process of like let's just get the shade out here to be make people happy. But I just don't understand how that was done in this way unless it was to create this craze of what people are talking about. But that I also don't understand. Like I know people always say like good, bad publicity is still publicity, but how are they going to come back from this because people are so upset with them. And I just feel like if anyone uses Euphoria from here on out, like they will be canceled because the brand has just taken it too far with this. So I don't know how that's going to play out. I really, really don't. But instantly, you know, it took a huge hit on the internet. People were comparing it. Gloria literally did a video where she swatched black paint on one side of her face and the Euphoria shade 600 on the other, and literally they were the same shade because, as I mentioned before, the pigment used in the Euphoria foundation is straight up black. And what I find interesting is on the other side of the shade spectrum, I actually noticed this when they sent me the range. They sent me like three shades that they thought could maybe match me. And one of the shades they sent me was so light, probably one of the lightest foundations I've ever seen. Now, I was a bit more tan at this point. I'm not like that fair. I usually go for like a neutral ivory, that kind of shade range. I'm usually like a couple shades into the foundation mix. But that light shade I did give to one of my friends who is super pale, and I was like, wow, this foundation is actually goes very, very light. So I found it interesting that they're trying to, you know, have all this diversity of different shades and all that in the light section, but not when it goes deeper. And not, I can't even say like deeper, because the shade range at first, the original shade range, barely even hit that like medium complexion. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of issues in the beauty community with this. There has been for years, but I think at this point in time, especially as a new company, a newer company, like Euphoria is not huge. They're still making their ways into like becoming bigger. I think doing this was just such a pivotal moment for the brand to stunt that growth for them. And if you're trying to be a Gen Z driven brand, like all their packaging, all very colorful, all their products are very like Gen Z geared, I feel like, because it's all very light makeup, fun products. Like they have their color changing blush and then this foundation you can sleep in and this pink setting spray. Like they have all these like fun, really creative products. So it does feel like the brand is for this new generation, but then you know the values that this new generation has, and you're just going to kind of go completely against that. Like, I don't really understand who their audience is at this point. And what I also don't understand is they have investors, right? Like, we know right off the bat, they've been on Shark Tank. Mark Cuban is invested in the company. Like, how is this all going to play out? How is he, like, you know, what is his say in all of this? I'm really curious. Obviously, we don't have those answers, but I am very curious to how that is all going to go down. Now, my opinion here. So, lots of people were saying, you know, Euphoria should have went back to the lab, done this testing, actually applied it on real human skin, and they would have obviously seen that this is not a color that could be used by anyone, really. And my whole thing is people were comparing them to brands like Fenty, Rare Beauty, NARS, all these huge conglomerate brands, and saying, like, look at their shade range coming out with 40 plus shades, and you're not doing this. Like, it's 2024. We need to get better at this. I don't think in this case it's fair to compare Euphoria as a brand to Fenty, Rare Beauty, NARS, all these huge brands that have the budget and have the resources and the R&D and all that to come out with a 40 foundation shade range. But that does not excuse the point. And I think because of that, if Euphoria did not have the budget, which I'm assuming they didn't, to do a 40 shade range, don't come out with a foundation. Don't come out with a foundation. And the thing is, I think if they even just came out with, let's just say 10 shades, okay, let's just go really on the low side, 10 shades of foundation, but they had 10 shades evenly dispersed across from fair, fair to deep, deep, deep. People would have been a lot more happy, because then you can make the argument, okay, you can do a little mixing there. Yeah, maybe the undertones aren't going to match up that nicely. But then it's like, okay, at least everybody was considered from the get-go. And then you can come out with a line extension after that and be like, you know what? Like, we need more yellow tones here, more red tones here, this and this and this, and come out with those cool neutral and warm shades and expand the range like that. But I think from the get-go, them coming out with a sample size of fair, 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 light, medium, light medium, and then just saying, oh, then we'll expand the shade to this other set of people. That's where I think they went really wrong in this. When, yes, I get it, they didn't have the budget for this foundation. Either two options: don't come out with the foundation, keep it for, you know, keep the idea. I get it's great. I understand the whole idea of it was really cool. I had a great time trying it out. It was a very fun product to use. But hold the idea until you have the resource and the capacity to do it right, or at least consider everyone who could be using their foundation, because a foundation is not like a lipstick, where whatever color that lipstick is, you know, some people may not prefer that color, but they could still technically use it. A foundation, like, it needs to match you at least pretty relatively good. And I think when brands come out with a range. It's very obvious because as a business owner myself, I know that every decision that goes into my brand is so thought out. And obviously there's things that I've learned that, you know, we've put out products and we've seen the response and had to make changes. And that's part of the learning process, but you do really think products out when you're making them. And if you're coming up with a foundation, you know what the foundation is going to be used for, and you know that you need to be serving a large range of different skin tones so that your foundation can be used by the demographic and the customers that you are marketing to as this Gen Z. Like, that's who your customer base is, that's who your demographic is. And I think if you're not matching that, then it doesn't really make sense. I know even for my brand, like, I have wanted to do color cosmetics for so long. Right now, we only have our skincare set. And we have our sunscreen, which I've always thought I really want to take this to a tinted sunscreen one day. And talking to my business partner, which he's not like in the beauty space so much, so he doesn't really understand like this whole world, but he's like, how many shades would we actually have to be able to make a colored product work? And I was like, okay, if it's a tinted sunscreen, like, it's not gonna be a full opaque product, we'd need, like, I'd say at least 10, probably closer to 12, 15 if we want to actually make this really work. And he was like, oh wow, okay, that's a lot. And when you think of, you know, as a small business, if we were making that in a lab, right now we make everything ourselves, everything's handmade, but if we were making that in a lab, we would need to order every single individual SKU, which a SKU is basically the unit. So every single shade of foundation or tinted product that we'd come out with would have its own individual SKU because it's technically a different formula. Because by changing the colors a little bit, it's a different ingredient list. The manufacturer has to make a new product, right? And then those would get bottled up with the shade names and all that. So those are all different SKUs. And let's say we did 15 shades, we'd have 15 SKUs. The thing is, most manufacturers have what's called a minimum order quantity, which is basically the minimum amount of units that you have to purchase as a business for them to actually manufacture that product. So let's just say you found this crazy good deal with a manufacturer that did 1,000 units as their minimum order quantity. That is also rare, especially like in this industry. You're usually looking at units of like 10,000. But let's just say you found a manufacturer that can do it for 1,000. That is 15,000 foundations that we would have to be purchasing. As a small business, we don't have the budget for that. But guess what? I'm not releasing a color cosmetics product right now because I don't have the capital personally to invest that right now at this moment. That's something that I want to do in the future, and I'm holding that off because I know if I would do it, I would want to do it right. I'm not just going to come out with two, three shades of a tinted sunscreen that I know only this like small set of people in my audience and who might be wanting to try my brand can use. So that was definitely very confusing. And I think that's as from the perspective of a small business owner, I know sometimes you have to make decisions quickly and you don't know everything, but there's so many resources out there. And people are right to say that Euphoria could have looked at all these other brands and been like, okay, what are they doing with their foundation range? Even brands, like, we don't even have to be comparing them to these big dog players, but even brands just that are smaller, that are within their like ball game, that are coming out with a bigger shade range. And if you can't do that, which I understand, there's no budget, whatever, come with a different product. You know, come out with something else and keep that idea for later when you can actually fund it. Because I just don't get the intent behind this. I just don't see, like, as a business owner, why you would want to do something that you know will intentionally hurt the brand. Because I there's no world where I can see that they manufactured that foundation, bottled it up, and said, this is gonna be our next big hit. Like, we are gonna go big with this. Like, I just don't see that happening. But when they were initially met with, you know, the complaints about the 15 shades not being a large enough shade range, the CEO of the brand said that this launch was a proof of concept and was only used as a test to see whether the product would be successful. I don't see that being the case because, in my eyes, and again, these are my opinions, I may be wrong in this, but in my eyes, if you're gonna prove something as like to test a concept, proof of concept, why not come out with 15 shades that are, again, as I mentioned before, across the board? And then fill in the gaps of like the different tones, more yellow, more neutral, more pink, like all of that later on if you're just trying to prove the concept. Because I get it, you know, you can't come out with 40 shades off the get-go. That's fine. But like they did take the time to look at undertones and all of that in the lighter shade range and then not in the darker. And that's, or not even consider the darker at all from the get-go. But now that they did release these darker shades, they're clearly understanding that in the light shades, you do need colors that are more neutral, more pink, more yellow, and those different tones because everyone has different undertones. But then in the deep shades, there's like, here's your five deep shades that don't have that diversity in the tone. So it's like a very mismatch there. And it does feel very, like, very purposeful, I feel like. And I understand why people are feeling the way that they are. I think even myself, I got really fired up when I was seeing all this because I'm like, there's no way. Like, I just couldn't comprehend how this was even happening and how you release this and you think, okay, this is going to be good, unless there was some weird reasoning behind it. I just don't, I can't even begin to understand this. And what really frustrates me here, and I think this is the issue a lot when it comes to the beauty community and trade shade ranges and all that, is people just want to feel included. People just want to feel like they can be part of this community, the beauty community as a whole, and we are one big community. Because I think makeup, and the one reason so many of us fall in love with it, why I fell in love with it, is it was an escape for me. It was a creative outlet, and it was a way for me to just be creative and feel beautiful in my skin and bring out my best features. And when you feel that the beauty community is discluding you, it hurts, and it feels like, okay, I can't be a part of this because I'm not enough for this. I'm not this, 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 and this. Obviously, I have a fair skin tone. I've had foundations available to me. For the most part, maybe some foundations run too dark because they don't release lighter shades. But for the most part, I have most of the foundations out there that from brands that work on my skin tone. But that's not the reality for so many people because they have to hunt and struggle and look at high-end products and pay all this money to get just a foundation that matches them. And I think that's something that just shouldn't be happening. Obviously, like, this shouldn't be happening. Everyone should feel included in this industry and in the beauty community. And I know for myself, there was such a long point in time where I didn't feel included. And I think just now I'm starting to feel a bit more included in the fact that I have acne, I have imperfect skin, and I felt really excluded from the beauty community for a very long time because of that. Because growing up, I only saw people with perfect clear skin in makeup ads, in makeup campaigns, at Sephora on the posters. Like, I never saw people with my skin showcasing products, showcasing beauty, and being that image of a glam look because all you saw was filtered, clear, smooth, flawless glass skin. And when I started sharing my posts on social media and sharing, real skin and all of that, I think it did have an, I want to say I do think I had an impact on that. And I love seeing so many, I'm not saying the only creator out there, obviously there's so many creators who do what I do and post unfiltered and all of that, but I love seeing it. And I think the more and more people that do this, that's how we're going to change this community. But it all comes to holding brands accountable. And I always applaud brands that show real unfiltered skin and don't retouch their photos and all of that. And I think that new way of thinking is so important, but we're not quite there yet. There's still days where I don't feel, super included in the beauty community and I feel like my skin is not good enough. And obviously I have acne and that's a different issue that I'm working to solve. But either way, once the acne's gone, I have so much acne scarring. I have texture. I have peach fuzz. I have stuff that is just normal parts of being a human that aren't advertised in beauty. And a lot of times it's so opposite of that, that then makes us feel like we are not enough for the beauty industry, which that's why, with the name of this podcast too, like, I wanted to get loud about these things and work on breaking down those walls of the beauty industry, and beauty standards, because they really mess with you. And I think really what we all want is to feel included and to feel human. And I think that is like the basis of all of this. That's how I felt too with my skin. I'm like, why am I being feeling ashamed and why am I being like discluded for just the way that my skin is like as a normal human? So yeah, that's I think a big part of the conversation and kind of leading into the next topic that I want to talk about is Hero Cosmetics. I love Hero. I love Hero with my whole heart. I've worked with them lots. I love their pimple patches, but I did want to give my thoughts on their recent announcement of their new face of the company, their new like brand. I don't even know what they officially called her. Let me fact check this. Okay, yes. So Hero Cosmetics names Alex Earle as the first global face of the brand. Okay, amazing. And they used this photo of her, which I'll put up on the screen if you're watching on YouTube. And when I first saw this, I was like, okay, I get it. I get where they're going with this because Alex has opened up a lot about her acne journey on her podcast and everything. She's talked about cystic acne that she's had. She's talked about Accutane, and I think she's going on like her fourth round of that. Like, she's very open about the whole journey, and she's talked about how she would, edit her photos or just show the good times when her skin was good or wear a bunch of makeup, use filters, all of that. And I see how Hero was like, yes, this could be a good fit because she has a huge audience. You know, most of her audience is like within their demographic. They deal with acne, and I think a lot of people resonated with her story of opening up about her skin. So I think the matchup was great. I think, you know, with her audience and her talks about her skin, and then Hero, I think that was a really good matchup. But I can't not lie and say that I wasn't disappointed when I saw the campaign photo come out because her skin could not have looked more perfect in that photo. And I'm not saying she had to be in this campaign with cystic acne because I know she'd cleared a lot of that up, but I would have just loved to see her raw, real skin holding the pimple patches or at least having a patch on or something. And to see that this photo, I don't know if she's wearing makeup or if it's retouched. I really don't know. I really don't know if it is, but I just would have, you know, when you can see real skin. And even if someone has the most flawless, beautiful skin, you know, when it looks real and you can see the lines and the little pores and a freckle here and there. And that just wasn't shown in the photo. It did, to me, it looked like either she was wearing makeup or the skin was retouched, because I also know that she does have some acne scarring on the sides of her face from watching her podcast. So there was a mismatch there to me of what her skin may actually look in reality versus this photo. And it just felt a little strange for me that a brand that is so acne positive, I've worked with them in the past. I love that brand. And that's why I was like, oh, should I talk about this? But I love that brand. They've done, I think, so much for the community. They've empowered so many women and men and all people to just feel more confident in their skin, rock pimple patches out in public. I'm all for it. I literally am wearing their patches right now. Like, I'm obsessed with what they do. I just wish that they took this maybe a step further with Alex and having a bigger, I think they could have had a way bigger impact with this if they just showed, you know, a raw, unfiltered photo, maybe showing her with some pimple patches. And I may be wrong, but like, I haven't seen her really talk about the fact that she's like the new ambassador for the new face of Hero. Like, I've only seen it from Hero's side, and I do think that it's great. I think it's a good matchup, as I said, because she is breaking down that stigma, breaking down those walls by talking about her acne journey and just sharing it to such a wide audience. I think that's what the community has really needed. She's been very transparent about it. She's also just been transparent about her use of filters and her use of makeup and editing photos, and I think that is really what this generation and her following needs, and I really, really applaud her for doing so. Oh, and I guess she did say some more. So she said, I couldn't be more excited and honored to be the first ever global face of Hero Cosmetics. When it comes to my skincare journey, it took a while to find something that really works for me. As someone who has openly struggled with acne since middle school, I know how emotionally frustrating and defeating it can feel when you can't find a product that works. I was first introduced to Hero a few years ago, and their pimple patches instantly became a part of my daily routine. Okay, so she does use them daily. That's awesome. So proud to work with a brand like Hero that promotes skin positivity and confidence. Okay, and the CEO, which I absolutely love. I keep saying this because I do have so much love for this brand, but this was something I noticed and wanted to speak on. The CEO said, we are so proud to welcome Alex as Hero's first ever face of the brand. We admire Alex's honesty about her acne journey and her confidence. She has been a fan of Hero and has shared her solutions with her audience on her own numerous times. This organic brand love makes Alex the perfect person to be the first ever face of Hero, and we are ecstatic. So yeah, it looks like she does love the brand organically. That is awesome. I mean, I don't see like every single one of her videos, but I think that's a great matchup there. I think it was the right move for Hero, but I just wish they took that a step further and actually shared, you know, the like more of a raw journey with that, or maybe talked more about her acne journey with the brand and done something a little more unfiltered, because I think they're so about that. They even show photos online of people using their pimple patches, and they're always showing raw, unfiltered, unedited, unretouched photos. You know, they're always doing, and I've done videos like this for them too, like the pimple patch removal, where you can really see all that gunk being removed in those really satisfying videos. And I think that's really who they are as a brand. So this was a bit of like a question mark for me when I saw this, because I was like, I wasn't questioning the actual campaign and the matchup of, you know, who they chose to be the face. I think it was a great matchup there, but I do think that they could have maybe done the photos to make them a little more real and raw, and I think that would have maybe resonated with people a lot more. Because even this photo, like, yes, she's holding the pimple patches, but maybe even her just wearing one and the skin being, you know, more real and just less like so perfected. And I mean, she's gorgeous and her skin looks beautiful too. I've seen her in her podcast, like, her skin does look really gorgeous. I just wish this photo was, yeah, I definitely feel like she's probably wearing makeup in this. Like, you can kind of see it. Yeah, she's definitely wearing makeup in this, and I just wish that this photo was a little more raw and real, especially for the brand that Hero is and everything that they support. But yeah, I would love to see more brands do things in the space that are just that break down those walls of beauty standards and that just show real skin more. And I think if brands start doing it more, I truly think it will have such a resonating impact with customers. Because I've even posted videos where I'm like, what if makeup ads look like this? And I really show the up close and personal and every pore on my face. And people are like, you know, I sometimes get the few comments and people are like, why would I buy this if like you're not showing me that this product could be look make my skin look perfect? But that's not like makeup will never makeup and skincare will never make your skin look perfect and like inhuman. You'll never get that glass skin look unless you're literally retouching your face, in my opinion. Like, you're always gonna look like a human. No matter how perfect and clear your skin is, there's going to be those human attributes to it that just come with having real skin. And I think if brands leaned into that more and just showed their product unfiltered, I do think it could have a really positive impact on consumers, on mental health, on all of it. And that is definitely something that I would love to see more of. But I'm curious about your guys' thoughts on this. I know Alex Earle recently did a video, I think it was with Allure, and she did her makeup routine, and you could just tell like it was not, that video wasn't filtered. And yes, YouTube videos can be filtered, especially the Vogue ones. Watch out for that, because sometimes they're filtered. But I think recently, you know, she did that video and her skin was, you could tell it was like her natural skin. And I loved that video. I loved her just sharing her makeup application in that video. I was actually thinking about recreating it and trying it out on my skin, but that is like the energy that I want to see more from, especially these big influencers, because they have such an impact. And I think them opening up about this and showing their real skin can be so impactful on their audience. Another recent face of a makeup company, Kendall Jenner, L'Oreal. She is now the face of L'Oreal. I think it really makes sense as like a fit. I think she definitely represents the brand. And L'Oreal, I actually heard Glamzilla say this recently, that she finally put the pieces together to why with every L'Oreal commercial or every kind of saying they have, they always say, because you're worth it. And it makes sense. And she mentioned that L'Oreal has always been just a few dollars more than other drugstore brands. And it's kind of that luxury touch, that luxury feel on the drugstore brands. And it's just like that message of like, you know, spend the extra little coin, get yourself something nice and more quality feeling, because you're worth it. So I thought that was kind of funny and cool, but she did just upload a Vogue makeup tutorial where she did like this spring French girl look, which I absolutely loved. I actually went to Paris a few months ago and I did not want to come back from there. I just started posting my content from Paris and I was obsessed. Like, I literally was obsessed with wearing red and doing red lipstick and red cheeks and just the makeup look of that Paris makeup look. I loved it so much. And in this Vogue video she posted, you can totally tell that she is makeup free and that also it's not filtered. And I absolutely love this because you can see her real skin. You can see her freckles, some little spots and darkness, you know, like a little darkness under her under eye. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. She looks absolutely stunning in this, but you can also tell it's real. And I think it's very relatable. And you know, even though she's this high profile celebrity, you can watch this video and relate to her as a woman and see those things that, you know, maybe you look at as flaws in yourself and look at her and be like, wow, she looks so beautiful here. And it's like, hey, I also have, you know, a spot here or there, and I also can look beautiful and follow this makeup routine. And I think when we have makeup routines like this, then the final result too, we're not sitting there feeling disappointed, being like, wow, why don't I look as perfect as they did with their makeup on? And that's because a lot of these videos we see are retouched and filtered. But when we see videos like this that aren't, then we get that final look and we're like, yeah, I'm looking great too, and I'm looking just as beautiful. And I think it just creates this way more positive energy around the beauty community, because that's what it should be about, you know. And I think she looked stunning in this. I think the matchup with L'Oreal makes sense here, and I do like that they are showing her in this light of being unfiltered. I think that is great, and I would just love to see that more. I know she's struggled with acne as well. She's talked about that, and it really humanizes, I think, celebrities when they do talk about their skin struggles, because a lot of us just don't see them in that space. We always see them so retouched and so perfect. So seeing her show her real skin on camera and do her makeup routine with L'Oreal. I think that was a really good matchup, and it was really refreshing to see. It was really, really refreshing to see, especially from like such a big celebrity in the beauty industry. But yeah, those are some recent things that I've been seeing in the beauty community that I wanted to touch on. I think a lot of this has to do with just feeling included, feeling beautiful, and feeling like you're part of something, which I think is what the beauty community should be. And sometimes that doesn't always happen, but I think it's up to us as people to talk about these things, bring up our opinions. It's up to, the big influencers, the big celebrities to represent these things and make a change in the beauty industry. I think that's the only way that these things will actually happen. I'll keep doing my little thing over here in the loud talk corner, working to break down these walls of beauty standards, one flaw at a time, of course. But thank you so much for joining me in this episode. I want to hear your guys' thoughts. So if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to comment down below what you think of this episode and any of these topics. If you did like this type of episode where we deep dive into like actually what's happening in the beauty industry, let me know because I've never really done an episode like this. So I thought it was kind of fun. It was nice to chat about this and get some of these thoughts off my chest. But let me know what you guys think. Let me know what guests you want to have on next, what topics you want me to cover. I'm super open to any of your suggestions here. But thank you again for listening to this episode. It means so, so much. If you want to hear more from me and the Loud Talk podcast, we do post every single Sunday at 7 a.m. MST on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, and all streaming platforms. If you are listening in on any of those streaming platforms, make sure to give this podcast a 5-star rating and follow the podcast as well. And if you're watching on YouTube, make sure to give the video a big thumbs up and subscribe so you don't miss out on a future upload. You can find all my other socials at Lavinia Rosonda on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and my brand is at 9to5skin.com. But yeah, that is all. I love you guys all so, so much. Of course, remember to tell yourself something you love about your skin today because you deserve it and you are worth it. You right there, you are absolutely gorgeous. And just remember, it really just takes breaking down the walls of beauty standards one flaw at a time. We really are here to create our own beauty standards. And I really just want you to physically go to the mirror and tell yourself something you love about your skin today. I think we should all do that every day. It's such a good like daily affirmation for yourself and such a good daily exercise. But yeah, that is it for this episode, guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with me, and you'll hear from me in the next episode of Loud Talk with Lavi. Bye, everyone.